You pray with me? Father, we thank you for the presence of your Spirit in worship as we sing songs of praise, as we offer music to you, as we lifted up prayers, Lord, and approached your throne, and as your word was read. Now, Father, we ask your presence of your Spirit to be with us as your word is proclaimed, Lord. Just, Father, we just ask that you would somehow speak to us now what we need to hear. We ask this in your name. Amen. Let me ask you, did you have a favorite teacher growing up? And I would say one that you thought of more than a teacher, like a friend, like someone who brought out the best in you and kept you on track. Mine was Mrs. Evans in the fourth grade. I was her favorite. In fact, I think all the kids in the class thought that they were her favorite. You see, she was firm, and she was fun, and she meant business. On our birthdays, she would put us over her lap and take a ruler and tap us once each for our age with one more to grow on. And we loved it. I was a pretty good kid in her class, a rule follower. But we stray from time to time, don't we, friends? We stray. We get tempted to go off the path. And one day, I got off the path in her class in what I will call the world of inappropriateness. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I suddenly felt her firm hand on the back of my neck, literally lifting me out of my chair and marching me over to where we hung our coats. She firmly placed my head between two coat hooks and said, "You stand right there, Herman Dick, until I tell you to move." We are in the second sermon of a three-sermon series on friendship. And our first teaching came from what Tim read from us in Proverbs 27. It was very brief, but I'm going to give it to you again. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses, and I would add, the betrayals of an enemy. Let me ask you, do you agree that we go astray from time to time on our journey, and that from time to time, we are in need of a course correction? You can say amen. Amen. Do you also agree that being told that we're doing fine when we're not is not really loving? Amen. The proverb says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. I will tell you, friends, it is not easy to speak truth in love to a friend. I read a book years ago by a man named Jerry Bridges, and he said that any time before we open our mouth and speak, we should ask ourselves three questions. Is what we're about to say true? Is what we're about to say kind? And is what we're about to say helpful? You see, sometimes the truth wounds us. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You see, the truth often forces us to recognize when we've strayed from our better selves. And when I say our better selves, I mean the life that God has planned for us. About 8 years ago, before I was called into the ministry, I had about as good of a job as I could ask for. I was a chief financial officer at a local public company, and I worked for a group of very ethical and decent people. Now, I will tell you, I thought I was pretty good at what I did, and I worked there for a number of years, and I don't know why, but for some reason, I found myself getting into a sort of a malaise. I found myself coming in later every morning, and I found myself leaving a little sooner in the afternoon. I was questioning my value and questioning why I was even at work in the first place. And yet, I had a lot of responsibility, and I had a lot of people who depended upon me. Fortunately, I had a close friend. We had been in many Bible studies together. We'd been on mission trips together. We would read Christian books and we would share them with one another. And so I called him up one day and I said, I'd like to have a chat with you and let's get a cup of coffee. And so I told him what I was going through and he listened and I had no idea how he'd respond. Maybe he'd say, "Herm, you'll be fine." But that's not what he said. He asked me a tough question that hit me right between the eyes. He said, "Herm, when did you realize that you forgot that you don't first work for Core Molding Technologies, but for Jesus Christ?" It was a convicting question, and it was a little wounding because it caused me to realize that every day that I was going into work, I had left Christ on that cross that hung from my rearview mirror in my car. But for me, it was a turning point. It was a course correction because I realized that I had been going it alone at work. And I'd forgotten that my purpose was to serve Christ, and somehow my work was part of that. Shortly after that course correction, my boss called me in and very bluntly said to me, "What's up with you? Because I've noticed your behavior at work has been changing over the past few months." And I looked him right in the eye and I said, "Yes, it has." I said, "You see, I've kind of felt lost at work. I kind of lost my focus." And I think it really surprised him that I said that. And I wondered if I hadn't first spoken with a trusted friend, if I might have gone into kind of a defense mode and quite frankly lied to him and said, "I don't know what you're talking about." You see, friends, true friends challenge us and they help us be faithful on our journey. The Bible is a book of stories, among other things, and it is full of stories of correction. Sometimes we use the biblical word of rebuke by a trusted friend. One of the stories that came to mind to me was in 2 Samuel. It's the story where Nathan, who's a friend of King David, tells him this little parable. He said there was this poor farmer who had a little ewe lamb, and he loved it as a pet, and it slept with him, and it ate with him, and he cherished it. But there was a rich man in town who had company coming to visit, and he needed something to serve for dinner, so he swooped down, and he took the ewe lamb from the poor farmer, and he slaughtered it, and he had it for dinner that night. And King David was furious at the story that his friend told him, and he said, "That rich man must die, and he should pay four times over for taking that lamb." But Nathan was telling him a parable, and he awakened his friend David by telling him that the rich man in the story was you, David. That's you I'm talking about. Because King David had taken another man's wife, and he had her husband killed in battle. And so that friend who was instructed by God to tell him that helped open David's eyes. David repented and sought God's forgiveness. It's another story of a man who's off track and doesn't really know it, but he knows enough. He's called the rich young ruler. He comes up to Jesus and he falls on his knees and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus doesn't give him an answer right away. He says to him, "Well, you know the law." And the young man says, "Yes, Lord, I know the law, and I've kept the law since I was a young man." And Jesus loved the young man, and he said, "But there's one thing you lack." And I think at that point he had his attention. He said, you need to sell everything you have and come and follow me." But for that man, that was too much of a course correction. And the scripture tells us that he went away sad. We never hear one way or the other in the Bible what happened to that man. I like to believe that a seed was planted that day when Jesus offered this young man whom he loved the answer to his question. He spoke truth to this man, and he spoke it in love. further on in Proverbs 27, Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So to help you a little bit with that metaphor, so if I have an iron hammer and I want to make a knife or a sword or a blade, I heat up the other iron and I pound it with the iron hammer. The point is, the iron has to come into contact with the other iron. It has to confront. The hammer has to confront the blade. And I would tell you, if we're talking about friends, that confrontation, sure, that could be in the form of a story or a parable like Nathan told David. It could be you sharing a similar time in your life with what a friend's going through and how you got through it. It could be helping a friend to better see where they're off path by asking them questions, or in today's story in Acts, about being direct. Because today we have a story about Paul and Barnabas, and Paul is known for being direct. You see, Paul and Barnabas are friends. They share a common goal of sharing Christ with the world. You know, Barnabas stuck up for Paul in those early days when Paul first converted to Christianity. He brought him before the apostles, who were very wary and untrusting that Paul truly was converted, because Paul went from a persecutor of Christians to a Christian evangelist. And that took some convincing, and Barnabas was there for him. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas set out on their first missionary journey, a journey that was inspired and commissioned by the Holy Spirit. And they started in Cyprus, and the Bible tells us that they took John Mark with them as a helper. You should know that John Mark was a cousin of Barnabas, and that John Mark's mother was someone who supported the Apostle Peter. When they were in Cyprus, they encountered conflict between those who wanted to hear the word of God and those who opposed Paul and Barnabas. Now, we don't know the reason, but at this point in the mission, John Mark left them, and he returned home to Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas, they continued on through Asia Minor, preaching Christ to Jews and Gentiles. They preached and they preached and they answered questions. Paul healed a lame man, and they encountered more conflict. In fact, Paul was stoned and left for dead. And I could only guess his friend Barnabas nursed him back to health. They returned back to Antioch, and they reported how they had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. This was Paul's first missionary journey. Now, as we come up on today's scripture, that was the backstory. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, he said, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now, I'm going to attempt to amplify this conversation a little bit, because the scripture doesn't tell us much more than Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them, and Paul disagreed, and they had a sharp disagreement. So I'm going to take a shot at this. "Hey, Barnabas, let's go back and visit all the believers in all the towns where we preached Christ. Let's go and encourage them." "Great idea, Paul." I was thinking along the same lines. That was an amazing journey that we took. I was thinking about taking John Mark with us. John Mark? Really? He left us. He abandoned us. He couldn't cut it on that first trip, Barnabas. I know, Paul, but I think he's learned from his experience. I think he's ready. Barnabas, the stakes are too high. The stakes are too high, and I haven't seen the evidence from Mark. Don't you trust me, Paul? Don't you trust me, Paul? I trust you, Barnabas, but I don't trust that Mark is ready. Acts tells us they had such a sharp disagreement that Barnabas and Paul split up. Barnabas took Mark to Cyprus, and Paul teamed up with Silas and headed to Syria. I believe they both acted in love. Barnabas wanted to give Mark a second chance, and Paul was likely concerned for both the mission to those newly planted churches as well as Mark's safety. If you remember, Paul was stoned on the first journey. The stakes were incredibly high, and you needed to be all in. Now, scholars have debated who was right, Barnabas or Paul, and their answer is inconclusive. You see, I think both friends spoke the truth in love to one another, and they were both believers, because that's what we're called to do. We are called to speak truth in love to believers. I think they both thought what they said was true and kind and helpful. Barnabas would have had to go back to Mark and explain that he was unable to convince Paul. And I think that provided Mark and Barnabas with the motivation to live up to their faith and to trust each other. Paul ended up meeting a young man called Timothy. And in his letters to Timothy, he demonstrates a Barnabas-like encouragement to Timothy. You see, Paul and Barnabas clashed, and I think they rubbed off on each other a little bit, because Barnabas is known as the son of encouragement. And here you see Paul offering words of encouragement to an immature Timothy. They sharpened one another like iron sharpens iron. We know from Scripture that Mark grew and that he matured, and that he came to be respected by Paul. In fact, at the end of Paul's second letter to Timothy, he writes to Timothy, "And get Mark and bring him to me because he is helpful in my ministry." Mark had become helpful in Paul's ministry. You see, I believe that teaches us to never count someone out as a friend, especially when Christ is involved. Tradition teaches us that that same Mark spent much time with the Apostle Peter and recorded Peter's stories of Jesus in what we call the Gospel of Mark. Now, in my experience, it's easier to offer truth spoken in love to a friend if your friend comes to you and asks for advice. It's not easy to ask a friend for correction. And I think it's even harder to initiate a conversation with a friend who you think is so far off the path that they're hurting themselves and maybe others. Friends, I believe that there are cases when God will put a friend on your heart because maybe it's you that's struggling right now and you need someone to talk to who won't judge you, who will tell you in love what maybe you know deep down you need to hear. And I also believe there are times when God will put a friend on your heart, and in this case, that friend is struggling, and they need you to come alongside them, and they need you to listen, and they need you to listen, and they need you to listen. I invite you in those times when you are led to confront a friend that you be so conscious of the Holy Spirit in your conversations. When I found myself in situations like this, I sort of think I have the answer right on the tip of my tongue, what they need to hear. And when I am conscious of the Spirit in those conversations, I'll pray right in the middle of a conversation, maybe just for 2 seconds, prayer that goes something like, "Lord, you know what I have on the tip of my tongue and I'm ready to say. Is this true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? And is it what you want me to say right now?" And I will tell you that oftentimes I've heard that answer in my heart, just two words, Not now. Not now. Not just yet. Why don't you ask them if there's something more that they would like to tell you? There's other times I've prayed that prayer and I've heard that answer. Yeah, that's okay to ask, or that's okay to share. And friends, I will tell you that I can all too remember conversations I've had with other friends that didn't go all that well, because afterwards I realized that I did it in my own strength, and I didn't call upon the Holy Spirit to guide me in my words. I hadn't asked for the Holy Spirit's help. And so what I want you to do with this message today is I want you to pray for your friends. I want you to pray that you would be there for them to bring out the best in them, and that they would be there and you would allow them to bring out the best in you. I would tell you that after standing with my head between those two coat hooks in the fourth grade for what felt like an eternity, it was probably 15 minutes, I felt a gentle hand on the back of my neck and a kind voice that told me I could take my seat. She probably walked with me to my seat in a posture that said, "You're still my favorite." You see, I was given the time to understand that I'd gotten off the path, and I was welcomed back. Isn't that how it is with our Lord Jesus Christ? His Spirit will correct us and let us know when we're off course, and sometimes He'll use our friends. And then He'll welcome us back into His arms that say, "You are still my favorite." Let's pray. Well, by your Spirit, Lord Jesus, help us. Help us to be the friend that you are to us. Because we know, Lord, that you challenged the disciples and you called them friends. You called out the sins of the sinners and you ate with them. And you asked, Lord, you asked for all our forgiveness on the cross. Help us, Lord, to be a friend. Help us, Lord, to make a friend. And help us, Lord, to bring that friend to you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Friends, hear this prayer as we go. May we have wisdom to know when to be quiet and listen, the courage to be vulnerable and share our story, the eyes to see ways we can be a better friend, the words to share with a friend in need, and the ears to hear our friends when we have strayed from your path, O Lord. Send us out with hope as we build upon and seek meaningful friendships. Help us connect with others and stay connected to you, dear Jesus. Amen. Go in peace.